Well, open your Bibles, please, to the end of Mark chapter 10. The end of Mark 10. We're really looking at this last story where Jesus heals Bartimaeus. Mark chapter 10. This story gave me a good excuse to look up some nerdy facts about your eyes. Your eyes develop, apparently, I don't know if any of these are true, I should have run them all past Catherine before I stood up here, but we'll go with it. Your eyes start to develop 2 weeks after you're conceived. They are reckoned to be the second most complex organ in your body, only after the brain. Your eyeballs stay the same size from birth to death. The eye processes more than, possesses more than 2 million working parts and has more than 1 million nerve fibers connecting each eye to the brain. 80% of our memories are determined by what we see, and it's reckoned that 80% of all learning that we do are actively using our eyes. It comes by what we see. And it's also reckoned in our world today that there are 39 million people who are classified as blind. And 80% of them, those vision problems are avoidable or curable, and yet they still remain in a state of blindness. And that is today in the 21st century. And I want us to go all the way back to that first century AD. And I want us to meet a man who didn't have the blessing of vision. A man who is in turmoil, lost in his darkness until he meets the creator of the eye, Jesus Christ. Let's read Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Here is a blind man who has much to teach us. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. And he came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting on the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. I want a very simple outline tonight. The first point for us, we're really just looking at this man and his experience. First point tonight, the man that Bartimaeus was, the man he was. Each and every person is unique, and each and every person that met Jesus was unique. And each person that came to him, they had various agendas, questions, and need. And this man, Bartimaeus, is no exception. He comes with particular needs to Jesus. So what do we know about him? Now, the first thing we can say about this man is he was a blind man. He was a blind man. To the people of Jericho, Bartimaeus was simply a blind beggar who they often saw sitting at the same part of the street in Jericho. In verse 51, in verse 52 as well, it seems to be indicated that at one stage in his life, he had been able to see. In other words, this condition of blindness wasn't something that he had been born with, but it happened at some stage. We don't know if it was whether it was when he was a child or a teenager or even later in life. We're not told what age he was at the time of this particular incident or how many years he had been blind. But probably he was able to remember certain things in life. It's often said that people who become blind later on in life, they still remember things with vision. They have visual dreams that go on in their mind, and they can picture the colors and life as they would have once seen it. Well, this man no doubt had photographs of faces in his mind, younger faces than maybe were currently around him, but faces of maybe family or friends from the past, people he knew that lived in the street around the corner. He knew in part what the city he sat in once had looked like. And no doubt, as a normal, able-bodied person at one stage in his life, he had had dreams of having maybe a successful job, of having a big house, of having a beautiful family to care for. But he had been robbed of those dreams because of this deteriorating eyesight. Once he'd seen everything so clearly, and we imagine there was probably a stage where things started to become more shadows than clear sight. But at this point, when he meets Jesus, everything, and it could have been for many years, is completely dark. Bartimaeus now lives in a world that he only knew through smell and through touch and through hearing. He lived in a world where blindness was common. There was a lot of blind people, almost so many in the streets of those major cities like Jericho, that people could quite quickly and easily just walk on past these blind people who needed their help. It was a common thing, but there was no social structures available to help such unfortunate people. All jobs in the society required you to have sight. And so he was destitute. He's unable to help himself. The world was darkness to him, and all hopes and dreams that the younger Bartimaeus had maybe had are snatched away when he lost his sight. He was a blind man. Not only was he blind, he was dependent on others. Because of his blindness, he had become dependent on other people. He existed in life only because of the kindness of other people. He could only leave his spot and navigate his way through the city if somebody else offered to help him. He ate only as people gave him either food or money. He was probably homeless, and the only time he would have got shelter was maybe whenever someone felt sorry for him in a particularly cold winter night and allowed him space to rest his head. This was a man who had been robbed of all independence. He really was at everybody else's beck and call, and he was forced to be polite and to express thanks every time somebody gave him a handout because he was blind, independent on others. And it seems obvious, but I think it's worth stating, it meant that he was unable to help himself. He was unable to help himself. He couldn't change his lot in life. Bartimaeus' problem wasn't that he had been lazy, that if he just went and worked, he would have some money and he would be fine. It wasn't a situation where he was lazy. The society and life that he was afforded in Jericho just meant that he was on the streets. He could do nothing to better his condition. Rather, his condition prevented him from anything but the status of a beggar, who had to live off the mercy of every passerby. There was nothing that he could do, no effort that he could make to change his blind condition. And the man he was a blind man, a dependent man, who was unable to help himself. Secondly, I want you to notice the truth that he saw. The truth that he saw. Though Bartimaeus is blind in this passage, he saw something that most people with 20/20 vision in his day and age missed. Now, he didn't see it with his eyes. He actually saw it with his ears. He saw it with his ears. Verse 47 says he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was there. And immediately he started shouting. Look at verse 47. And he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, and he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, this wasn't the first time that Bartimaeus had heard about Jesus. Jericho was an important through road, a through city that lots of people would have journeyed through in order to head to Jerusalem, the capital where the temple was for worship. In this particular time of year, before Passover, hundreds and thousands of people are passing through Jericho, ready to make the ascent up to Jerusalem. This is a normal practice. It was a busy place, a good place for a beggar to be situated. And this wasn't the first time he had heard about Jesus. Every traveler that passed by on their way to Jerusalem was talking about the gossip of the day, the news of the day, the rumors that were circulating. And so much of that particular year in life in Palestine was all about Jesus. Did you hear about him? Did you hear it's rumored that he was born in Bethlehem? It's been rumored that his father and mother come from David's line. Have you heard that he's rumored to have healed the blind? Lame people are walking now. Deaf people can hear. Apparently he spends time with Gentiles. He teaches unlike any other teacher. He teaches with authority. And he seems to know the law better than the scribes. Every time they try and catch him out, his answer is always wiser and better. As anyone would have heard these rumors in Jericho about Jesus, they would have been curious. But Bartimaeus goes further. As he heard all of these rumors circulating about the things that Jesus had done, what did he conclude according to verse 47? That he was the son of David. Remember, there's that Old Testament promised one, 2 Samuel chapter 7. David was promised that a greater son would come through his line, one who would sit on his throne forever. We looked in our genealogy series about this tracing of the seed. Remember to Eve in Genesis 3:15, it was said that through her seed the serpent's head would be crushed. And later on it was said to Abraham that through his seed would come a blessing to the nations. And now through David, King David, that seed line would continue. That seed would come and he would be a king that would sit on David's throne forever. He would be king forever. He would free his people. He would throw off all their tyranny. He would save his people, the Old Testament talked about, from their sins. And he would heal those in need. Lots of people in Palestine were rumoring about this Jesus character that was doing so many amazing things. But Bartimaeus, the one man who couldn't see the law of God and read it for himself, knew enough about the law of God, the Old Testament, to put the pieces together and see that the one that was promised was this Jesus. Most of that great crowd described in verse 46 failed to see what Bartimaeus saw. They only saw a miracle-working man. Bartimaeus saw the promised Savior. He saw the one in whom mercy could be found. In the ancient Near East, blindness or being lame or deaf, some sort of disability that you would possibly have that would force you to beg, was often thought to be the result of sin. Remember, there's that narrative in the Gospels where the disciples come to Jesus and they see the blind man and they say, who sinned, him or his parents? It was believed that such a disability was a consequence of sin. And many people, as they looked at Bartimaeus, no doubt thought his situation, his station in life, was a result of his sin. But Bartimaeus knew that his problem wasn't blindness alone. And he knew that the problem wasn't his eyes, but the problem was his heart. And so he shouts out to Jesus. He knows he doesn't deserve Jesus' help. He calls out to him as a beggar, screaming for help, screaming for mercy, screaming for some over and above act of kindness towards him. He knew the great son of David, the one who is king, would be a king who would show mercy. Even when the crowd start to shush him, you should be ashamed of yourself, Bartimaeus. Stay quiet. What he does is he shouts all the louder. Look at verse 48. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. He didn't care what anybody else thought. He knew there was one here who could help and who had a gracious heart that would help, according to the Old Testament. And so eager is he that when he gets the green light in verse 50, it says he leaves his cloak. He throws it off. And possibly the only possession this beggar had was his cloak to keep him warm in the cold, that he used as a blanket at night, possibly even set in front of him for the change to be thrown upon. That cloak, the one possession he had, he throws to the side to go immediately and respond to this interest of Jesus. Look at verse 51. And Jesus said to him, What do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. He asked Jesus, this kind healer, the Son of David, to have his sight restored. And verse 52 adds that his request was one born in faith. He had faith in his request. He had faith in the person that he spoke to. At a time when most people saw Jesus as a political leader, as maybe a religious reformer or a revolutionary leader, Bartimaeus perceives sharper than anybody else that what stood in front of him was the merciful Son of David. The man that he was, the truth that he saw, and notice the effect he experienced. The effect he experienced. Look at verse 52. And Jesus said to him, Go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on his way. Immediately Bartimaeus got his sight back. He was able to see the blue skies in Jericho. He was able to see the streets that he'd been walking down. He was able to see various faces in the crowd, that great crowd around about him. But according to the text, according to verse 52, there was only one sight that consumed his gaze. Only one thing he wanted to look at. Did you see it? He wanted to look at his merciful healer, Jesus Christ, the Son of David. Did you notice what Jesus said to him? Look at verse 52. And Jesus said to him, Go your way. Go your way. Okay, so go your way. And then we read, Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him. What way does he go? On the way. Go your way. He can go wherever he wants. He's been healed. He's been made better. But this man is so focused on the one who cured him, so taken with the Son of David, that wherever Jesus walks, this man is walking right behind. He follows him on his way, on the way. He meets with Jesus, and he is mercifully healed by Jesus. It's not surprising that he would want to then follow Jesus. This is the way he now wants to go after meeting and being touched by Jesus. In contrast to the rich man who we looked at a couple of weeks ago, who couldn't leave his wealth and follow Jesus, Bartimaeus, he throws off that one possession, that cloak that he had, and he wants to walk in the steps of Jesus. As Jesus took each step to Jerusalem, you can imagine Bartimaeus carefully placing his feet in exactly the same footprints, following the one who had helped him, following the one who had cured him. The man that he was, the truth that he saw, the effect he experienced, and lastly, the illustration he left. The illustration he left. It's often said that in the Gospels, miracles are parables to the eye. Miracles are parables to the eye. And certainly what Bartimaeus experienced here with his eyes appears to show outwardly what was really taking place inwardly in this man. He wasn't simply a blind man who came to Jesus and now could see. Rather, like all of us, each of us, he was a sinner. Like each of us, he was also trapped in spiritual darkness. He was unable to see the truth right in front of his face. He was dependent on other people to tell him what they knew about God, about God's word, just as we are dependent on others before we are saved to tell us about the things of God. We're incapable of helping ourselves the same way that Bartimaeus was incapable of helping himself. And the only hope that we have, like Bartimaeus, is in hearing God's word. And hearing about the great Son of David who was coming. And like Bartimaeus, the only thing we can do is cry out to him alone for mercy. To throw aside everything else that we have. And cling in desperation to the only one who can heal us. Maybe tonight, you need to cry out for the first time, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. That's the only way you can gain spiritual sight. That's the only way you can taste and see that the Lord is good. To cry out to him for mercy that you don't deserve. But to cry out for him because of his character, that he is a merciful God who does not reject. Maybe some here tonight have been around Christian things for a very long time. Maybe so long, in fact, that now you're unsure, are you saved or aren't you saved? Have I really seen? Are my eyes still blind, or do I see shadows, or do I have perfect sight? Remember the context of this story. 2 weeks ago, earlier in chapter 10, we were looking at a rich man. An eager man who came to Jesus with the right question. Came to the right person with the right question. And asked what he must do to be saved. What he must do to inherit eternal life. But when Jesus told him to leave his money, to no longer be the rich man, but to just be a man who followed Jesus, he couldn't do it. He couldn't let go. Last week we met two brothers, James and John. And they were close to Jesus. But they had a self-promoting attitude. Oh, Jesus, we want to raise you up and we want to come in close behind. We want to give you first place, Jesus, and we'll take second. And they got cracked up by Jesus. But tonight, here is the way we must come. As a beggar, with absolutely nothing to offer. And as Bartimaeus found sight, and was transformed, and then marked by this obsessive following of Jesus, and we come to him and ask for mercy, ask for forgiveness, we also find sight, we're transformed. And it's marked, we know we are, because it's marked by an obsessive following after Jesus. Are you like this rich man? His identity was in his riches. He was the rich man. Is your identity in something else? The popular person? The hard-working person? The good family person? The church-goer? Are you like James and John? You acknowledge Jesus and can say all the right things about Jesus, but so much of what you do is still about you. You have an egocentric faith. It's still all about what really bolsters your own position. Or are you like this beggar at the end of the chapter, who comes to the only source of mercy, asking for help? Do you love and follow Jesus? If not, there is no true sight until you, like this man, can say, all I have is Christ. All I want is mercy. Unless you can come to Christ as a beggar, put your hand up with nothing to offer him, and ask for his grace and receive from Him the wonderful gift of eternal life, not in your merit, but solely on who He is. Unless you can do that, you cannot be saved. Salvation is found in no one else but Jesus Christ. Salvation comes by no other means than the cross work of Jesus Christ. All I have is Christ. I've mentioned before the Valley of Vision. It's a collection of Puritan poems. And there's one that I thought would be particularly helpful to finish our service tonight. It's a poem really about true repentance. Let me read it to you and use the moments we have before we pray and then sing to assess ourselves, to see whether we are rich men, with our identity and something else. James and John, you're still self-obsessed, or a beggar. Are we beggars coming to the only source of mercy where we find life? It reads, Thou blessed Spirit, author of all grace and comfort, come work repentance in my soul. Represent sin to me in its odious colors, that I may hate it. Melt my heart by the majesty and mercy of God. Show me my ruined self, the help there is in Him. Teach me to behold my Creator, His ability to save, His arms outstretched, His big heart for me. May I confide in His power and love, commit my soul to Him without reserve, bear His image, observe His laws, pursue His service, and be through time and eternity a monument to the efficacy of His grace, a trophy of His victory. Make me willing to be saved in His way, perceiving nothing in myself, but all in Jesus. Help me not only to receive Him, but to walk in Him, depend upon Him, commune with Him, be conformed to Him, follow Him, imperfect, but still pressing forward. Not complaining of labor, but valuing rest. Not murmuring under trials, but thankful for my state. Give me that faith, which is the means of salvation, and the principle and medium of all godliness. May I be saved by grace through faith. Live by faith. Feel the joy of faith. Do the work of faith. Perceiving nothing in myself, may I find in Christ wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this very simple picture in Scripture of a man who was blind until he met Jesus, but knowing who Jesus was, he found a merciful healer. Lord, all of us have a problem of sin. All of us think too highly of ourselves. All of us are dead without Your touch. And so we pray, Lord, that You would lift the scales off all eyes in this room, that we may see Jesus, that we may follow Jesus, that we may live for Him in faith. We thank You for His all-sufficient sacrifice. And we pray that all here tonight who put their trust in it alone for their salvation. We thank You that You are the Son of David. We thank You that in Christ we find our Savior. We find the One who is perfect, the One who is promised, and the One in whom we find eternal life. We ask that You would help us as we close, and that You would minister to us even in our conversations afterwards. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.